Earlier today, maybe last night, we began to look at supernatural order in our lives. And we shared in the afternoon, the flesh or the spirit. And I said that there's a thin line between the flesh and the spirit. And sometimes you can cross into the other without knowing. And so, you need to be very cautious. We said that we serve a God that is not in the seen world, is in the unseen world. He lives in our hearts. And so what matters the most is what is on our heart. At the end of it, it's not how people clap for you or praise you. And I've done my best to share my own experiences. I'm still a very young person, but the little experience I've had shows that human praise and commendation and sometimes criticisms as well are fickle. You can't rely upon them. You can't depend upon them. I often share this with younger pastors. I'm also a young pastor, but at least they are younger than I am. And I say, you know, don't spend too much of people's praises at the early stages of ministry. People are going to praise you. They are going to say lovely, wonderful things. Great things that they look encouraging, they look like a support system, but don't spend it, don't use it. You know, stay in the grace of God, stay in that personal fellowship that you have with the Lord. There's nothing that can substitute that. A preacher that lives on the pulpit will be shamed there, he will be discouraged from there. You must not have a life that is built on the pulpit, where you become a performer. You must have your own secret place, your own personal devotional times, your times where you assess yourself by the word of God in the place of prayer and meditation. You must have a personal Christian walk and not become a celebrity, you know, a showman, a performer. And people will always want you to perform. People are like that, and they will get you into trouble. You know, there are pastors today, the members are itching for them to say something new. And so they've driven them practically into error. I remember one of the stories Brother Higgins said about a particular person. You know, he started out by just saying some very strange things. But the people were liking it, and they were hailing him. Ah, today we are going to hear something deeper. And so the man went very deep. Extremely deep. In fact, the depths, even lifesavers couldn't get him again. So they can get you into trouble. They say, say something very unique, very strange, and you'll get into trouble. You know, and you know, folks are going to remain folks. Always accept that. And so it's important to know the difference between the flesh and the spirit, and it's important to also highlight this. No matter how close you are with someone, even if you're husband and wife, parents and children, siblings, the truth of the matter is that in the service of God, you are an individual. There's nothing called joint honesty, collective sincerity. No, it has to be personal. Yes, we can rub up on each other and encourage each other, but it's personal. I tell people, I said, no matter how close I am to you, it will never translate into you knowing God's word. You have to personally want to. And in fact, the way it happens is this. Even if we are best of friends, you know, you will require to sit down like everybody sits down. You will require to learn the word like everybody will learn the word. Look at Jesus. His mom was around watching just conference one day. She was outside. And they said, Pastor. Mom C is outside. Apparently there was no space. Naturally, she created a space in front. Mommy God is outside. Let her come inside. He said, who are my mother, sister, and brother? He said, everyone you have found here, who draws the will of God. How you know the woman didn't take offense? Some people are taking offense. So, So, even if you are God, I carried you in my womb for 9 months. That's like an African confession. Even if you are God Almighty, so, at least I carried you. You sucked this breast. So am I not as divine as you are? She was smart enough to understand what he had just said. She was smart enough to also become a disciple of his disciples. How about that? She wasn't claiming mommy, mama, grand supri mama. She just, and she, when Peter and John and all of them wanted to pick a replacement for Judas, she didn't say, you didn't even consult me. You started with him at River Jordan with John the Baptist. I started with him before he was born. You know, he'll be claiming title. She was among the disciples. And she was in one accord with them praying. They gave instructions, she followed. That's some sense. Some sense. Some spiritual sense. Because your walk with God is personal to you. It's just, but my friend is the pastor. I tell people, if you join the church as a pastor, as a friend, there is no place in the body of Christ called friend of the pastor. You love to attend membership class like every other believer who is born again. You love to be everywhere where everybody is. If I had a friend like that, I told him, I said, look, you see, if you enter this church, they won't treat you like a friend of man of God, though. I said, no, I'm telling you. Came for 2 services and didn't come again. If you think we're going to be having consultations before and after service, it's not going to happen. Oh, why would you even want things like that? Who are you? Who are you? You are a Christian. Christian. Just a Christian. Come in and be a Christian. So people, you will know that they are the friends of the pastor by the time they enter. Tell him I'm around. The man is still, I'm around. Who are you, sir? I taught him when he just got born again. Just tell him, your first teacher, when you got born again, you recognize the grace. Sit down! It's better we call upon you than for you to call upon us so that you might be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul, we said that earlier in the day, he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, verse 1. He says, rather, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I told you, babe in Christ is an attitude. Nepios, an attitude. You have developed an attitude of a baby. You know, one of the things about babies, that babies lack attention. Babies crave attention. Children, infants, they love attention. They also love things that are attractive. Just go, they'll start smiling. Babies love entertainment. So you ask yourself, is that my attitude to Christianity? Imagine, they ask you, what do you appreciate about that church? You say the music. Are you sure you didn't go to the thief at the left hand? You know, there were people on the cross. Because when they say, at the cross, I bow. There were three. Because where to be sure? How can they say, what is it about that church? He said, the music. You know, be careful. Look, it's not a joke. You know, one of them, Jesus said, today you'll be with me. Maybe that's the one you believed in. And so it's close to salvation. He is saved. You have been saved by he that is saved. Oh, okay. Because how can you say, that's what I like about the church. What I like about the church? I like the way the usher smile. You have depression issues.
What do you appreciate about the church?
The toilets.
Emoji. The toilet. What do you like about the church?
The ambience.
Ambience? What do you like about the church?
I love the pastor is handsome.
What do you like about the church?
It's close to my house.
That's house fellowship. What do you like about the church?
Nothing about Jesus. That's the building, the sound.
And so because you are a babe, they wrap up their game as you come to the service. The light. Say the glory of God. You can see that you are a babe. You know, babe, you say, that is who you are. That's what you, how can that be what you love? In the church. I like the tear. Do you have orthopedic issues? So that is what you love in a church. So what about the prayer?
Prayer? I've never been to their prayer meetings before.
Yeah. You don't even know whether they pray. I saw a church who did a flyer on their prayer meeting. Let me explain what I mean. Assuming this is December, we are going to hold prayer meeting in February. And it's 1 hour. And the church does not have less than 10,000 members. And he said, February we are praying. You know, it is well. And what do you like about the church?
The man of God is practical. He doesn't just quote scriptures.
If for some night you will not quote scripture at all, but he will minister to you. With what? He's very down to earth. He's not that spiritual, Bible-taught pastor. He comes down to, he will talk about politics, he will talk about science, commerce, and then he will show you from the word of God, eventually. Not church. He says you are a babe. Attitude is too weak to be called a Christian. But we know you are a Christian. I mean by the book of life. I think somebody by Google search found your name there. So we are fine. Oh, your name is there. There are so many like your own name. Oh, there's a problem. I was like, this one. Okay, your name is there. Okay, I think you are both. No. The initials are different. But we believe by faith that your name is there. I fed you with milk and not with meat. Either though you are not able to bear, neither are you not able. For you are yet carnal, which is a figure of speech, that is in your actions and attitudes. You don't display a man with the Spirit. Jude, in Jude 19, says, they were without the Spirit. But beloved, build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Without the Spirit. And you have Christians who so behave. Earlier today we looked at Amaziah. We looked at an example of Solomon, David. He says, but I'm in the new covenant. Yes, the new covenant borrowing attitude from the flesh. You have Christians today who are not loyal in their service to God. You have Christians today who are selfish. Rather than serve God, they serve Christ, they serve themselves. So they have imitated wrong examples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, writing to the same church, 1 Corinthians 10, I mentioned it earlier. He says in verse 5, with many of them, God's word was pleased for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6 is important. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lost it. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, that they were written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, verse 12, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he falls into temptation. That's what he's talking about, not fall out of salvation. So, we all copy examples. There's no way you can take out what you are doing today from an example. I've said it to you many times. Man is a product of influence. Anybody that says, I didn't copy this from anybody is lying. That statement itself is a copycat. You see and learn. The Adamic principle in scripture, in Romans 5 verse 12, through one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all for all have sinned. Said before the law, sin was in the world, but it's not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them, verse 14, that had not sinned after the spirit of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of the things that should happen. In other words, Adam became an example. An example. Adam is not a first nature of humanity. I believe we've done enough. Not enough. We can never do enough. We've done good materials that is good to study. Ask questions, critique it, you know, on such subject. But watch something. Adam had two sons. There was Abel and Cain. And therefore, Abel had a choice, and he did not follow that pattern. But the point remains that it became a pattern. And so you'll always have patterns. Patterns in the world, patterns of the flesh. Somebody said this and it blessed me, and I said to show it to you tonight. He said, what a generation tolerates, often another one embraces as a culture. So watch the things you tolerate. Some people can just say, you will know you just tolerated it, you know, just to allow certain people and all that. But the next people coming after you will take it as a culture and a norm. There are things people are doing today. If you look back some 20 years, they were like abomination. But now they have become a culture. I remember back then that we had debates over, you know, fun in the services. And we were talking about, how can people be doing, in fact, in those days, we would call it bodygraphy. Some other guys call it something else, I cannot say we're in church. But we said it in church too then anyway. Bodygraphy, people will come, display their dancing talent, shake their all manner before the church. I was like, what is this? So I said, you know, some people are getting bored, it's just for a time. In fact, a man tried to explain to us prophetically. He said, in the spirit realm, he said, there are certain things that want to be said by signs and wonders. He said, therefore, we use people and the way they use... Ah, it's okay. It's fine. But the point is, I don't think he and others envisaged what had become a culture today. I didn't know how people became bold to bring a comedian to a service. And they were explaining to you. So I said, laughter is good medicine for the soul. Did you see comedian there? And they bring a comedian. You and I, you know, we come to church, we fast, we study the word, we are dedicated. The pulpit looks like the holiest of all. That you cannot approach lest an animal comes and then a dart goes to pam. Very far. Then they bring an unserious guy to hold the same microphone and make us laugh. He say, ah. He say, na so di ma kan ran out oh, eh, and that becomes a norm. So that if today you critique that kind of family, you say, you are being critical. Why? A generation tolerated it, and another sees it as normal. I grew up, I'm still growing. I grew up knowing that when the service is on, right, they shut the door. Particularly when they start prayer. In fact, the norm was, when they start prayer, they shut the door. Interestingly, when they start doing praise worship, they open it. When they start preaching, they shut it again. I don't know why.
Why the praise worship aspect, they open it, but I guess one of the things they tolerated too. But the point was, you knew when you hear people pray, you stay outside. You wait. When you hear they're worshiping God, you stay outside. But the same people come in so late to the service. Some don't even have Bibles. I remember in Deep Valley Bible Church then, at the entrance, the ushers will have the Bible and the hymnals, songbook. As you're coming in, they say, where's your Bible? It's a question. You don't feel bad. Where's your Bible? They say, why are you asking me? Why are you coming to church? Where's your Bible? But now some of you just display your chinko phone. So what some have tolerated is now a culture. It's now a norm. How would you say you're a member of a church back then and you don't attend the prayer meetings? How? 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 People were, sometimes you start service in the morning. After church service, you have workers meeting, you go for follow-up, you go and check people that didn't come to church. In the evening, you go for house fellowship. So people now came and said, it's too burdensome. So they broke it down into different kinds of creativities. So a church service is so brief, you would think it's vapor. Have we started? No, we have ended. Have they preached? What do you think he was saying? Was he preaching? And it's over. It's over. In the name of having people join the churches, it has now become a culture. People say, what am I? Why are you 2-3 hours yourself? What is all that for? 3 hours. What is all that for? 2 hours. People have things to do with their time. Did you hear that? It has become a culture because some people tolerated it. So it has become a culture. Now imagine what a generation after that will now see. Now it's convenient for people to say they are holding prayer meetings and they say it's online. Church service, online. Prayer meeting, online. Holy Ghost meeting, online. I guess even the rapture will be online. Some people started collecting bishopric online. You pay 250,000. I don't know how much it is now. That was 2007. They give you a bishop. Online. I have a guy like that who took one of those things. So I used to call him online bishop. Bishop with how many gigabytes you have? Bishop of kilobytes. He's not found amongst you, he's found among the internet. So be careful what you tolerate. Others will take it to the next level. It will become a culture. A culture. A culture. Be careful. Now you have people playing musical instruments for churches. As soon as you want to start teaching, they leave the service. I once preached somewhere like that. It was as though it was in one accord. I said, pray, and they just moved. I said, come back here. come back. Where are you going? They were surprised at my question. I said, I want to preach the word of God. Come back here. If you like, don't tell your pastor to invite me again. Come back here and sit down. What did you even sing? Come back and sit down. That's why some people now become lax. You will see people who are playing instruments in churches, they'll do their hair one kind. So I wear a ring. And I took a church some years back. And the guy that led worship, I heard the Jesus. He was singing a song in italics. Hope you understand what I'm talking about. Is that Jesus? He said, "It's Jesus."
was 21 years ago. And I was thinking about the pastor. So I'll deal with this one. So I called the choir. Next week, Saturday, we're having prayer meeting. So I said, where's the prayer squad? Did I say prayer squad? 7 to 7. That week, people's mothers died. Their uncles were being rebellious. I knew that brother would not come. He didn't come. He didn't come. He didn't take excuse. And I was happy. He didn't come. No, that kind of person cannot be praying. No. You can't finish praying and say, you level a passion and pray. That's it. You cannot sing like that. You can't sing like that. You will sing as a Christian. That's what he said. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Admonishing, not punishing. With your scream, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. There's no entertainment there. So you didn't come. I know you will come. How will you come? He didn't come again. At least he left. So you have those permissive culture, permissive attitude. Because you are an usher, you don't come for a prayer meeting. And then by Sunday you deck up like groomsman. So they say, who are you in the kingdom of God? I dress up. How can that be an office? What are you in the kingdom of God? I smile at people. In the house of God. So, what if I'm also smiling back at you? Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. So what is the point? It has now become permitted. It is now a culture. In fact, someone told me they were interviewing people for ushering in their church. And they were looking at their figure. What's that? The same people who put their pictures on Facebook, you like it. God will judge you. Don't say, don't be a hypocrite. Say, so don't check me. Say, what kind of figure is this? Are you, is it fine, sir? You can't be in the ushering department. You look at someone that should be in the prayer department. Your face is for demons. Can you imagine? In the house of God. So what a generation tolerates, another one will embrace as a culture. I had the call to talk to one of somebody I knew and asked him a question. I said, now you are going to campuses teaching people, now you go to America, you flew in a space jet, and you landed on the moon and came back. I said, but on campus, we were both on campus, even though you were senior, we were both on campus at the same time. Was this what you heard that made you answer the call to ministry? He said, this generation is different. I said, no. You are molding them that way. People, Christians did not start getting successful in 1999 now. Christians have been successful for years. How come they were not giving pulpits? What Christians have been successful? The SU movement has many successful Christians. Committed people, dedicated to the gospel, successful in their career. It was a blackmail that, if you follow those people, you won't do well. It's not true! Even till now, go and check graduates of people like IVCU Knifers, dedicated people to Christ. Successful. It's not true. Far, far better than all this require, acquire, retire, refire, and then go to hellfire. It's not true. So what a generation tolerates, another one will now embrace as a culture. Look at how Moses' figures of speech is still today the practice of many Jewish followers and even Christians. So that when you say, this is what the Bible says, they begin to look at you, is this guy okay? Why? It has become a culture. Let's proceed further. So we said, you are born of the Spirit. See, I'm born of the Spirit. So, the fact about you is that you are in the Spirit. Romans 8:1. There's therefore none condemnation to those who are Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that was weak through the flesh. Because the Son is like a silver of sin, condemning the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, walking that are fled by the Spirit. You know? And Paul highlights the fact that there is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in every believer. He says, those that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Those that are in the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. To carry man is death, to carry man is life and peace. And then he says that carry man is not of the law of God, neither can it be. Same to the law of God, neither can it be. Said, but said, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, if any man has the Spirit of Christ, is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin, the Spirit life called righteousness. So at the new birth, you are in the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was separated, crucified among you? Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now desire, seek to be perfected in the flesh? So you have begun in the Spirit. So what is the Spirit of the flesh? We are simply saying you have a choice to make to be natural, which is because you are born of the Spirit, being spiritual. That's what is natural to you. Or to yield to the world, which is to walk in the flesh. It's a choice. That is why people teach you realities of the new creation and don't teach you how to walk in the new creation, they have not taught you the truth of God's word. There is a walk in the new creation. And that walk demands dedication, consecration to the word. It doesn't come by merely affirming it and just giving glory to God. No! It comes by a dedication to first of all see yourself in the mirror of God's word and then to consequently act upon it. James 1:16, do not hear my beloved brethren, every good gift, every power gift from above. Therefore, the Father of lights whom there are no fragments, there is a sign of turning. Of his own will be gathered with the word of truth, and we should be carried forth before his creatures. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be sweet to hear, so the spiritual wrath. For the wrath of man works not against of God. Therefore, he says, lay the power of fullness as well, nothingness, receive with meekness. Verse 21. This is the implanted word that is able to save the soul. 22. Therefore, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, like it was the man that beholds his natural face in the mirror, say the way, go his way, and forget the manner of man that he was. It's a responsibility to do the word. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do unto the glory of God. So you have a responsibility to do the word. You must do the word. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, even so walk in him. Colossians 2:6. There's a walk. Philippians 1:27. It says, a conversation that becometh of the gospel of Christ. And that must be taught with all gravity. With all gravity. Some people have learned forgiveness of sins without learning how to forgive others. So they just say, glory, forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. What about forgiving? Present tense continuous. You only know F-O-R-G-I-V-E-N. What about F-O-R-G-I-V-I-N-G? In other words, what was done to you in Christ now becomes your culture towards others. If Christ endured for you, endure for others. If Christ was without sin for your sake, be without sin for others. If Christ walked in love about you, you too walk in love towards others. That is a new creation reality in your lifestyle. Can I have an amen? Amen. So when we say spirit or flesh, we're not asking you to attain an height. We're simply saying, do what is natural to you.
There's one song we sang earlier in the year. I am supernatural. The resurrection power is working in me. I am supernatural. His power is walking through me. It's not just about outreaches. Daily, you are supernatural. Daily, you are supernatural. Stop talking like an unbeliever. I can't do it. It's too difficult. Let's pray. I can't do it. Let's study. Let's give. Let's do it. No. You are supernatural. You are born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Same Jesus is here. He never said goodbye. If he's here, that means his lifestyle has become your own. So you are supernatural. So when we say the spirit or the flesh, we're only saying do what is natural to you and no work in the flesh. Is anybody in the house? So, in Christianity, we live by examples. We do. Examples. We talked about Adam the other time. There's a parable in Luke 14. I believe I mentioned this earlier. Where Jesus spoke about a feast, a wedding feast. And he says, when you go to a wedding feast, don't ask to sit in front. Don't. Don't look for the best of seats. Don't seek for honor. He says, so that it won't get to a point. You will have sat there and somebody more honorable will come and they say, bro. sis, please. We're sorry, but we didn't know you were not for this place. Can you stay there? Then you feel bad. You feel bad. Those who self-announce really have nothing to offer. I like how Pastor Tok says it. It's what you don't have that you are trying to prove. I've had cases where the way they will invite me to come and preach. If you are somebody in the flesh, you'll be discouraged. I went for a conference of missionaries and they were across the board denominations. And the man that was going to introduce me said, there's a young man here. I think he's a young evangelist or so. Let him come and just exhort us briefly before the main speaker comes. You know, that's enough discouragement. And me too, I came by Ifesinachi. I dropped. And I took Okada to the venue. And when you enter the venue, you see the kind of cars that are there. I said, no problem. You don't say, Lord, lift me high and make me stand. No. I got there, I said, no problem. The man gave him the mic. I know when they now whisper into your ears. Don't forget. 30 minutes. Please stick to the time. When I was done teaching, I didn't say, praise the Lord. He doesn't know me really. That's why I said what he said. But let me just tell you. You know, in 1966, the Lord told me, you know, I just thought, preached. I remember I preached from Hebrews 2:4. That used to be my magic wand. When I was done, all of them, the circle bishops, the circular bishops, they all got up. Man of God. Bless you. Of course, I'm grown up now. I won't do that again. I said, bless you. You know, why don't go and prove yourself? I went for another one. I think Alex was in that one. I was like a substitute of a preacher. They didn't plan to invite me. So the preacher they invited did not come. And I started calling me. It's a power night. Who can we call for power night? We have one auxiliary guy like that. They said, call me. Said, please, sir. They didn't know I was going to come. Because they told me about the conference before the conference started. And they said, they don't want you. They said, you know, they didn't. The guy that came, they said, they didn't want me. So the invited preacher did not come. That beckoned on me. I said, I will come. They called me till I got to the venue. But the interesting part was that they didn't know my name. The organizer, just one guy. recommended me. Somebody else was going to call me up and said, there's somebody here. I don't really know his name. You were there now. Were you there? You were there too. 2003? 2003? 2004? 2004. He said, when he comes up, he will introduce himself. What does he want me to do? Praise the Lord. My name is... No. There's no reason for that. What if they don't introduce you? What if they say, the next speaker is an outstanding teacher of the word. He's a father, he's a grandfather, he's a businessman. The anointing upon his head drips like sweat. When he comes, he has preached in South Africa, he has preached in America, he has preached all over the world. He went to hell last week and he came back. He sits and he says, ladies and gentlemen, since coming in, hot church, welcome, Apostle, Doctor, Reverend. They used to come on. Over there, when I see that video, I just disconnect. I don't like it. I don't like it. In fact, those who are close to me, I tell them, don't play that video again, please. Call my name. Or say, just come. Leave the rest to me. Just come. Say what you want to say, get out. When I was not teaching, all the ministers who were there, many of them, lined up to have me preach for them without knowing my name. In fact, the magazine they released for that convention, I was the main article. Without knowing my name, they found out later. Don't say they didn't even mention my name. They didn't call my office. You are stupid. Don't ask to be put in front. I said, when you invite me to come and preach somewhere, and you are going to, let me tell you something smart. Don't walk straight to the front. I know you are on the poster. Stay at the back first. Let them tell you, it's in front. You know, let them take you there. Don't just be going to the front yourself. Did you put a chair there? Now, I'll tell you a personal experience. That's how I was invited. I was the main speaker. I didn't know that the leaders of that church sat at the back. I was just going, go. Say, Pastor. So I was just going, that's Bebeto. Let them take you there. Praise the Lord. Don't go there and start mentioning, you know, your ministry, what you have done. Shut up. Preach. They gave you 1 hour. You have done 20 minutes promo. Preach the word. Amen. So that parable tells us, don't announce yourself. Don't be the one saying I'm reverend. There's no need. I see some small boys. I was ordained 25 years ago. African Invasion Mission Ministries. 25 years ago. I've never written reverend before my name before. Never. Even though I was a young guy, I should have been carried on my head. But I was not trained like that. Imagine they say, who is your pastor? You say, Brother Hickey, what's your name? Reverend. You should be ashamed of yourself. You say, who's your pastor? You say, Pastor Alex. What's your name? Archbishop. And you know, Africans like chieftaincy titles. Yes. The voice of God to the generation. Are you Jesus? Be the voice of God. How can you be the voice of God? When were you born? The voice of God is God. You are a servant. Would you like it to say, servant of God? And you say, that's not the fullness of it. Servant of God. Anyway, servant of God. Please put reverend. Servant of God. Put apostle. Servant of God. A guy said, I follow you closely. I said, how close? You are putting reverend before your name and you put apostle somewhere. You are not following me closely. You are close up, close up. Are you following closely? Your ministry is even yet to take off. You have all the titles. Right hand of the Father. Left hand of Christ. Cool down. Hallelujah. Don't ask to be put in front. Stay at the back. Amen. So it's vital that we know that oftentimes what we display are examples. It's something you have seen somewhere. You know, oftentimes, and in life generally, if you are not careful, you will do exactly the things you criticized. Particularly if all you did was criticize it. Many people do not often sit back, and rather than criticize something, they correct themselves. That's why a guy will grow up under maybe an angry father, abusive father, and he will not like it. But because he never renewed his mind, he will do exactly the things he criticized. You find people leave a church, maybe angry for whatever reasons, and they say, that church, blah, 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 blah. They go out and really start another church and they do exactly the things that they criticized. Oftentimes it's not advisable. When someone leaves the church, to start immediately elsewhere. Go somewhere else. Reorientate yourself. Renew your mind. All I brought to say, detox. Because all you have seen so far are bad examples. If that is the case, you are likely going to reproduce it. We all follow examples. You know, as a pastor, unconsciously, there was something I used to do before services. Unconsciously. Why? I saw somebody do it. I just come in, preach. So I traveled to a church, and the pastor is somebody I respect a lot. And he's been in ministry this year, it's probably his 60th year or so. And then I think 65 years. So I saw that before the service he was in church. He was not just in church. He was rolling with everybody and all that. After the service, he still stayed behind. And I said, this is a good example. You must know how to recognize good examples and also know bad ones. Immediately, I corrected myself. So I consciously will come to service way before everyone because of what I saw. And that's the lifestyle of Jesus. Remember, somebody went to see Kenneth Hagin. So he went there to sign to see Brother Hagin. I said, maybe they'll give me space by Friday. He got there on Monday. So I want to see Kenneth Hagin. The secretary said, that is him over there. He said, I'm asking for Dr. Kenneth Edwin Hagin. He said, yeah, he's right there. The man says, ha. Now, I've been to his office and I can understand what the lady said. He's just there. I don't mean where you are. He was just there. That's the person you are talking about. You know, that is an example. Now, there are other examples. As a person on campus. You know, there's campus. I went to see a brother. He was a pastor. Just to see a campus fellowship pastor. Campus fellowship pastor. I think I was a 400 level, it was 100 level. And as I got to the place, they said, you can't see him now. I sat down for 3 hours. And he was just in the place. And he had bodyguard. Interestingly, the person is a family friend now. So one day I was telling him, I said, I went to see you, he had forgotten. And I said, you are now free to come and see him. He was in 100 level. I've witnessed people write exams, campus pastors. And their edicam stood outside. I'm telling you the truth.
And I got in. Then he sat down on the chair.
100 level student.
You're welcome. How are you?
Campus.
He said, how are you? How's the ministry?
What is this?
Well, you know, he saw it somewhere.
He saw it somewhere. He saw someone do it. He saw someone do it. Someone told me, you can't talk to me directly.
You speak to my PA. My PA will let me know and call back.
A small boy, you. He has PA. One teenager told me, yes, my PA, can my, the guy said, my PA, no, that was not a teenager. He said, my PA will get back to you, sir. No, that's not what he said. I think he said, something PA. I've forgotten this conversation. I said, how old are you? You are PA now. What will you now have in 20 years' time?
Wonders of the age. You know why he's doing it? He saw it somewhere. We all reproduce the things that we see. But more so, he liked it.
You must determine what you can like.
Pastor Paulie, my friend, told me, said he went to a particular church where they scream about the mode of excellence. He said, man of God, I couldn't stay there for 30 minutes or maybe 1 hour. He said, why? He said, my spirit was grieved. That's an old timer. That is grieved. He said, the whole place looked like they want to take picture. You know how you pretend?
He said, it's too fake. But some guys ask exactly what they like. Why? They saw the example.
So when the man of God is preaching, you know, the light is on his suit so people can see the glory of the suit. You saw it somewhere. May people not see your suit when you are preaching.
It's a prayer. May people not see the kind of shoe you wore when you are preaching. I can imagine. That's what they saw.
No, I saw this. One in town. Come on, see shoe. Ha, that man of God is in town.
That's not good, though.
May you present Jesus to your world.
That should be your desire. So we all follow example. So you have a choice. And today we have the internet. In those days, you have to go to somewhere to see it. Now it will come to your phone. You don't have to go down to see things. It will come to your phone all by itself.
As you are opening your Facebook, you have seen pictures. There was one meeting I saw. The people in that meeting were less than 50, but the pictures were 250. More pictures than human beings. They took their picture, how they were entering, how they were smiling, how they raised their hand, how they were crying, how the pastor was preaching, how they were going out.
Members, 250 memorials.
Why did the person do that? He also saw it somewhere. We all reproduce examples. Hope you are learning something.
So we looked at the things of the flesh. I mentioned this earlier. Competition. Where you begin to compare yourself. Now there's a difference between competition and following examples.
Competition says, I can do this and even better. Competition says, we'll do this better than you. Competition says, this is why people are coming to this church. We will improve upon it and have more people come. Competition says, I can see that the reason why people come to this church is because of good music. Somebody said it.
He said, they discovered that in their church, 80% of those who attend the services attend because of good music. So they improved their music. Competition will make you to follow such examples. Competition. Oh, they said that watching just come, they pray for 5 hours. We'll do our whole 7 hours. We can do it and even more. That's competition. Oh, they pray that way. Wow, what an example for us to emulate. That's how Christians should be. So we emulate. It's two different things. They are two different things. Competition will seek to be known. I'm better than you. Paul says, I have labored more abundantly than all of them put together. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. People often don't read what he now said after. He said, whether myself or they, alright, in verse 11, so we preach, and so you have believed. Nothing for self-glory. Nothing. And always realize, I guess I don't have time to talk about this, that ministry is still by the grace of God. Because you only add competition for things you don't have the grace of God for. And the people you are competing with will do what they are doing effortlessly. At least in that sense. Make sure you are not into a rat race. It's a rat race. So you ask yourself, I can do it too. I can do that too. Somebody was saying, when you see somebody do something in Christianity, you tell yourself, I can do it too. Now, it's a very simple thing. And that your sense of judgment is very interesting. So if your pastor is correcting people, you say, I can do it too. You know, he said, not like that. Then you should add brain to what you just said now. I can do it too. No. There is a limit to what you should do. And what you shouldn't do. And you must realize that. Don't be into unhealthy comparisons. Oh, good examples. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example of the believer. Let no man despise their youth. Beautiful. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me as I am of Christ. Beautiful. 1 Corinthians 4. And I warn you as sons. 14:15. You may have thousands of instructors, but not many fathers. Paul says, follow me. Beautiful. Where people are examples and models for us. Paul in Colossians 4:12. He says, Epaphras, which is one of you, he says he labors fervently for you, regularly day and night, that you may stand perfect in all the will of God. Example. Romans 16, full of examples. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. When he says those things about those men, they are examples to us. What they have done, examples. Whose lifestyles mirror Christ. I'll come to that later. So you ask yourself, is this competition or just following a good example? Am I trying to prove a point? Or am I trying to live the Christian life? Because I've seen an example of it. Always ask yourself, what is the source of what I'm trying to do? In other words, I can know my motive by the source or the information that is prompting what I'm doing. I can know it. When we were going to do songs, remember, you know, one of the things that motivated us was the fact that some people said we cannot even sing our songs without him having the copyright. I said, good, let's pull it out. And then somebody said, why can't we go to the studio and master? There's nothing wrong in it. To go and master it and do this. Somebody even suggested, oh, we can put it on so and so, maybe Spotify, and make money. I said, no. We won't do that. I said that we are going to sing that song the way we sing it. Normally. And put it out the same way we put out the word. As simple as that. Then I can find reasons around it. I remember somebody told me, look at the number of downloads you have on your site. I said, Pastor, what if you just charge 10 naira? He said, it's not much.
People will even give you that knowing. Now you know your head will quickly calculate. Pam, 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 pam. I got the figures. Quick. I said, well, what you have said is good. Because the person is not a bad person. Just a good advice. I said, but we were not led to do it that way. We're not led. And then the person's friend now said, I told you that's what he's going to tell you. You say, I know him. You say he was not led. Well, it's not a lie now. Who were not led. It's as simple as that. So, what is the source of that information? Sometimes somebody is putting you under pressure. Sometimes somebody gives you a nice advice, Aitophelic advice. Aitophelic is from Aitophel. What you need to do is what Jesus did in Mark 5. When he saw mockery in the room of Jairus, he sent them away. In other words, block every information that presents the wrong examples to you. Block it. Don't watch it. Don't see it. In Matthew 13 and verse 36, he sent away the crowd. In John 2, he chased people out of the temple. Same thing in Mark 11. You must take the responsibility on yourself on what to allow and disallow. At least what we're saying. You are not a competitor. Neither are you a performer. Say, I'm not a performer. Neither am I a celebrity. Say that better. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a performer. Look at the things that Jesus did. One day they called him and said, you are going to become king. He said, no, and he ran away. Another time, they said, oh, can you be a judge over this inheritance? He said, who has made me a judge over this? He went away. Almost like he never admitted who he was. Why? Because who he was going to be proven by suffering. On the cross. You are not a celebrity. You are not. Look at the emblem of Christianity. What is seen as the fact of Christianity? Christ died. He suffered. So it's called the message of the cross. The message of the cross can't have glamour. The message of the cross is not proven by glamour or glitterati. No! But by sincerity and purity of the truth that is found in Jesus. You are not a performer. Watch for the flesh. I'll say what I said earlier. Mind now. What will matter at the end? Ask yourself a question. I'll give you 1 minute to do something. Write down in your notes what you think will matter the most at the end of your life. I'll give you a minute. What do you think will matter the most? Whether you live this, you live this life, I mean you live this earth 70 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now. At whatever point, write down now what you believe will matter the most at the end of your life. Just a minute. What do you think will matter the most? What do you think will matter the most? At the end of your life. Now, ask yourself this question. Is this what is important to me now? I don't know what you wrote and I'm not going to ask you. Is this what is important to me now? You ask yourself. What will matter at the end? Is it who I marry or who marries me? Is it the children that I have? Or the grandchildren? Or the houses I've built? Is it even how many countries I've traveled to? Let me ask you. Is it even how many people are in my church? No. Ask yourself what will matter the most. Then ask yourself, is this what is most important to me now? If it is not, there's no better way to judge yourself than what you have just done. Learn to pray over your desires. Brother Hagin used to say this, many of us who were listeners of the faith teachings never did. Last
few years of my life, I've endeavored to listen to Brother Hagin virtually every day. There was something he said 4 times. Somehow, I'd heard it before, but I didn't pay attention. He said, even when it comes to believing God for material things, he said, ask God whether this is his will. You know, I'd never heard that statement that way before. But if I heard it again 2 days ago, shall you ask? He said, even though it's a material thing, sometimes our desire may not align with God's will. And I kind of felt, how come we usually miss this part in the things the man taught? So even over your desires, pray over it. Pray over it. Are you listening to this? If it's of the spirit, it cannot be of the flesh. Galatians 5. Paul says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, the spirit of the flesh. They cannot, one will not allow you to do the other one. Walk in the spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you can always know something by the proof. If you can find the flesh in what you are doing, it means it's not of the spirit. Simple. Read the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19, 20 and 21. You see it there, there's no point. When you have to lie, when you have to cheat, when you have to destroy people's lives, when you have to blaspheme, that cannot be God's will. Then you should know, this is not what you should be doing. This is not the ministry of Jesus. You can't build ministry on lies and build on exaggeration. I mean, there was a guy like that, an old friend was telling me recently, we met at one of the airports, I think it was Kenya or so. Then he said, this guy has not changed though. And he told me a lot of things. I said, I said in 1998, that is how, in fact, 1996, no, 95. That's how he brought one Fabu testimony like that. And said, he put together a car. The engine was 504. He said, then we now nickname him Pastor Faith. I said, look at when he did that. Said, a few years after, because he was trying to, you know, do all sorts of nonsense, he now did a poster. I think you have seen that poster before. He now said, asthma, you remember that poster? Heart attack, healed. You remember the story? You know the story. Heart attack, healed. This one is going to be based on lies. So he actually put people together to put pictures in flyers. So when Mike was telling me, he said, this guy said he can't change. He has already built his ministry on it. For this guy to change, he has to first leave the ministry. Because this is what he calls ministry. So you have to know, these are signs that you are no longer serving God. You had better understate the miracles than overstate them. I showed you how Jesus more often than not will say, tell nobody. And I explained why he did it. He wants even the testimonies of miracles to be said properly. People exaggerate a lot. I remember one testimony of a sister. I mean, this one embarrassed me a lot. This was 95. We had different healings and testimonies. So, I guess because she wanted to prove the point to the car, she said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It was at the Sulere Estate, Gorodu. She said, praise the Lord. My mother was sick with asthma. As soon as I took the handkerchief and she saw it, she said, the thing has left her. He's been 14 days now. No, 4 days now. She's healed. I said, glory! We all shouted. So, not knowing what had happened, I went to their house. The mother had a shop. So I went there. I said, we thank God. And I was telling her, you know, trying to reconfirm my apostolic office. She said, we thank God. I'm still believing. She said, you know the thing, you know the way it is. It will come, it will go. I said, but sister, so and so said, no, I only told that I also trust God though, that right now the thing is not there, but we should believe it should not come back. I was so embarrassed. And we had already shared the testimony in the meetings.
Do you understand? Because people can be so excited. When you put pressure on them, what is the Lord doing? What's the Lord doing? Who will come and say the Lord has not done anything? So, you have to create the Lord and also what he has done. Do you get it? So, on his own, there are people who have built testimonies on lies. I had a friend like that. Who was telling us how by faith he released his words, a car came. And me, I went to town. Just by speaking. He told us on a Monday, the car came on a Thursday. So one day we're now somewhere else. A few months after. His elder brother now gave the same testimony on the same car. Who owns the car? Eventually the car belongs to their mother. Let me stop there before I give names. The pressure to say something. I've been caught under it before. But glory to God, I've been delivered and saved eternally. I would rather understate it. It's not a sin that overstate it. And some guys can lie. It's as though they have a grace for it. Exaggerations. Somebody says, my ear was paining me. You say, deaf ear. Even me, yesterday my ear was paining me. How can you say I was deaf? I almost said it turned to sender. You don't lie. You know. But some folks have built testimonies on that. Ministries. Pure ministries on that. There was a fellow like that. Who I went for his meetings. And he had a healing service. And I knew the kind of ministry he was sent to pattern after. And I knew the trouble. And the meeting even called me out to come and minister. And I did. Were you in that meeting? And then as the meeting was over, I was there. So I left. In fact, he left before I left. So he called me. Man of God. He did not wait. Come and see. How blind eyes were open, deaf ears on stop. You left before me. He didn't know. I was there. Were you there? You were there. I was there when we were packing the chair. Maybe they did it in the toilet. But it's not likely. I was there. But because he had to sustain a narrative. Don't build your ministry. You are no longer serving Jesus. Oh, don't lie. Tell your neighbor, say, don't lie. Say, don't lie. Tell lies. That some, they'll get information about people. And then they say they are giving word of knowledge. In fact, a friend told me that sometimes they even get the bankers to give them account balance. Well, if you go for a meeting and tell you account balance, did you not know it before? Or are you doing money laundering? They tell you your phone number. Did you not know your phone number before? How is that? Wow. You deserve yourselves. Let me tell you, they do your part. How would you? What is that? The narratives of lying, building a ministry on lies. Remember one day like that, we were doing a count of people that came for one of our convention. I saw the number was rounded up. I think it was between three. About 200 people were rounded up. I said, that's too much. 200 cannot be rounded up. That is the entire ministry of some people now. How many people said? About 3-5. At the end of the day, it was 3,300. It's better you say 3,000. Right? And let God know the balance. Than you to say what God does not know.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't lie. Don't ask your photographers to enlarge the picture. You are lying. You are lying. Say, take it from this side. Use a drone. Somebody once mentioned the number of people in a meeting. And the owners of the event center told us the number of people that should be there. But greater than the owners was there. Don't build ministry on those. Who are you trying to impress? It cannot be God who knows the truth. Don't lie. Tell the truth. And let the devil be ashamed. The flesh is like Gehazi. Gehazi wants to lie to the man of God. Where are you coming from? Pastor, we labored in prayer 9 hours and you are lying. It's not likely that that's the first time Gehazi will tell a lie. Because that one was too abrupt. He was used to lying. Don't lie to your pastor. Tell your neighbor, say, don't lie to your pastor. Say it well. Look at the person and say, don't lie to your pastor. Don't lie to your pastor. Don't lie. Don't lie and say, forgive me. God does not see what I've done wrong, so who sees it? Do you know something interesting? There's a story in Acts 5, and that's in Sapphira. You know, the arguments on that story almost is like they didn't do anything wrong. Are they believers? Are they not believers? Is that the issue? They lied. Are they believers? No, they can't be believers. Peter killed them. No, they killed Peter. No, the thing about the anger was in the scenario. Wait, there was lying there, lying. And it's not just like Trinity kind of lies. It was in one accord. That is what we should take from there. Don't lie. Forget about whether they are believers or not believers. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Then they can't be believers. What is wrong with Peter? No. They lied. That is the first thing. They lied. You have left the important issue there. Is who killed who? Who did? No, they can't be. We're in the New Testament. It's not of death, it's of life. What are you afraid of? There was one thing I posted about service. So in the parable, Jesus talked about some going to hell. The guy said, sir, I just have a question. So if we are unfaithful, does it mean we'll go to hell? I said, do you want to be unfaithful? He said, no, I'm just because of the eternal nature of salvation. Shut up your mouth! How do you know it's going to hell? Do you know if I grace you read? Do you want to be unfaithful? He said, no. So you will go to hell. Simple. Is that simple? Don't lie. Don't be like Judas. Ambition to have money. Judas was found with the priests. The priests and the elders and the Pharisees. What were you doing with them? Knowing fully well that they were plotting to kill Jesus. You start to reason differently. The flesh has come in. Why was he doing this? When you start having conspiracies, defamation, lying, exaggeration, you are no longer serving Jesus. I'll tell you something likely on Tuesday, and that's for all of us. See, the title is Contending Without Being Contentious. That's the teaching. You can have a contention over what somebody is preaching, but to wish their ministry evil is no longer the spirit of God. Don't wish anybody evil. Don't wish that their church will go down. Don't wish that there will be nobody there again. What are you looking for? I'll get to that. No, it's not today. By the time you start believing for things like that,
you are no longer serving God. Keep your conscience clear. Do you hear me? And keep it tender. Let your conscience be such that you easily repent. Say, I'm quick to repent. I didn't hear you. Say it again. Quick to repent. You don't argue. What are you arguing about? It's wrong. Just move on. Let's begin to close on this. If no one commends you, have no sense of regret or pity. If nobody sees what you are doing, even they see, they didn't commend you or they don't commend you. Two, if no one knows you did it, if no one knows that you did it. I was called upon to embark on a very intense work recently. I think it's the last 1 year thereabout. And I told the fellow, I said, don't put my name on the project. I said, that is strange. I've never heard that before. I said, don't put my name there. And I'm going to work with them for 3 years. I said, don't put my name there. What I'm talking about, if some people have half of that chance, they say, please put my picture. But I've learned. I've learned how to be slow and personally be evasive for publicity. It preserves you. When you see a young person looking for publicity, he will end up under pressure. I'm a young man. How many years in ministry? We just celebrated a man who was 60 years in ministry. Brother Hagin, 70 years. Pastor Adeboy, I don't know how many years, maybe 46 or more. Pastor Hagin, 60 years in ministry. Pastor Kumuyi, maybe 47 years or more. What are you trying to impress people for? Why not just be quiet? In fact, try not even be projected. It's just safe for you. I used to pray a prayer for you at this conference. May you get to the end and not end it. People just end it. They don't get to the end, but they end it. Calm down. No one knew you did it. Doesn't matter. Jesus warned us in Matthew 6, or the Pharisees who love men's greetings said they have their reward. There is nothing in human beings greeting you. Absolutely nothing. I know people that human beings will praise and they'll be battling their conscience at night about what God is telling them. I told you earlier, there are things that God will show you. You even pray about is for somebody else to do it. You know, God can give you a burden for a nation that you never travel to. There's a lady, a woman, who dedicated her entire life to be, as he called it, the intercessor for Riabonki Ministries. Some of us got to know her somehow, but she's totally unknown. And for many years, she dedicated her life to just pray for Riabonki. I believe that if there's a reward for what he has done, it will be more with the people who prayed that the men did not see. There was a quote like that that I heard from forgotten the name now. He said, people talk about Charles Finney a lot. He said, but there was a praying Hyde who was always praying for him. While the men saw Charles Finney, the demons and God saw praying Hyde. I believe that. Let your service to God be single to God alone. Service, sufferings, commitment. That's what should dominate your mind. Sufferings means endurance,
perseverance, service, you're available to serve, and commitments. Remove glamour totally from your service for God. Remove glamour totally. Don't even want it. Don't ask for it. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep serving God. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep serving God. If the people on earth don't see you, the Lord of heaven has seen you. Keep serving. Keep at it. Keep doing what you're doing. There are many things you will do for the Lord. It's in eternity that you're going to see it. Keep serving. Doing the will of God. Don't embrace glamour. Let glamour be removed from what you do for the Lord. Be dead to the praises of men and their commendation. The flesh or the spirit. Let us pray.